Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio.
The footy's on the radio.
And your front row.
Fareem, welcome to the Friday Night Huddle for McDonald's Family McValue Box.
Triple M rocks footy.
It was arguably the best game of the season last year, the GWS versus the Western Bulldogs. It is replayed today from Canberra. Massive Friday Huddle coming your way. Brendan Favola is set to joining us in a moment. Is he serious about an AFL comeback? Jordan Roughhead from the Bulldogs, straight from the VFL, tell us how Mitch Wallace is going. Nick Maxwell from the GWS. Damo has some very big news on a couple of dumped AFL stars. Judge Juddy is in the house. And Brownie's mum's book about Brownie. Quite extraordinary. Full team assembled. Juddy is here. Damo is here. Brownie is here. And Darce is here. Darce, great to see you. The thing I like about this team, it's real man of the people stuff. We know where we sit in the world.
Yep.
We hang around with a common man.
That's the way we
roll.
But
listen, come last Sunday, the Logies was on, and there's a couple of gentlemen in this room that lost all their credibility as far as football and the sort of dealing with the modern man goes.
Who are we talking about?
Well,
let's get
right off the top, Juddy and Damo, between them, these two men spent, well, I'll ask them, Juddy, how long, just briefly, did you spend on the red carpet?
90 minutes.
90 minutes. And you, Damien?
It was similar, but I had to be there, Howie.
I had to be there. 3 hours between them to ask on the red carpet.
You had to be there, Purple. Just asked how long you're on the red carpet for.
Do you know, Howie, that Juddy posted 17 posts of himself on Instagram and Beck only 13? He was 4+ up on Beck.
That is a disgrace. What is this team coming to, Darce?
Have you become red carpet specialist, Juddy? Is that the new version of you that we can expect?
No, look, I had no right to be there, as Purple sort of alluded to with his previous comment, but wanted to do it once and glad I've ticked it off the box, Duke.
What does a man do for an hour and a half on the red carpet, Juddy?
Talks to Purple and tries to find anyone else on the carpet he's got a scary kink common with.
Fair to say you've blossomed, isn't it, since you finished playing?
I've blossomed. Come out of myself, yeah. No doubt about it.
You are the most comfortable person I know in their own skin, Juddy, but there were moments of that 90 minutes last week where you were not comfortable, and it was good to see that you were human.
Well, I eventually left. I worked out there was a back entrance, and the back entrance I took, so
And can I ask what you were doing there, Damo? Because Juddy has got a place there.
It's a very good question, Dust, but we have to stick together as a footy show group. And I had the problem of Rebecca Madden being drawn to every single microphone and camera that was there, which prolonged the entire process because all they want is that one photo at the end of it all. It's a legitimate excuse, Dust. I know you're not buying it, but I can promise you, Dust.
I'm sensing a bit of me, Damo. Extra FaceTime for you,
definitely
Damo.
Definitely not.
Yes. At least Juddy's up front. He's owned it. Oh,
you know me as well as I think most people do at Triple M. Do you reckon that's my go?
Well, I think you might have changed. It wouldn't have been last year.
At 46, I've changed.
What caught my eye in some of the photos I saw of you, Damien, a black tie event. Black tie. You wear your shirt, you wear your tie,
pretty simple
you wear
dress
your
color.
Black jacket and your black pants. Mr. Suave over there favours the dark navy blue approach to the black tie.
Again, Howie, Channel 9 wardrobe issue by the beautiful Rose, who likes to keep people on trend, even daggy 46-year-olds.
So you're telling me you're on trend at the Logies,
were
you in blue?
She told me that was on trend.
Yeah, I don't know so much about that. But anyway, I think you boys need to just get back out there and mix with the listeners and our audience because 1.5 hours on the red carpet.
Now, what's happening in your world, Howie, while you're on what's happening this week? Channel 10 announced an $800 million loss, and then they're going to buy all the cricket rights the next day. So you're either out of a job or you've got a 15-year career ahead of you, mate.
Well,
what's
choose to look at the positives. Page 2 of the Herald Sun today, we're buying the Big Bash, we're buying the Test, we're buying the One Days and possibly the IPL. I'm thinking I've got a job for life. Then you get to page 34, which is the business pages, and it didn't quite look so positive. But I choose to look at the positive side.
I would run that one through Judd Corp, who keeps a very close eye on the bottom lines of all the major companies. What's happening there, Judd?
Have I got a job or not?
Well, I think Channel 10's a sell. I think we're all pretty comfortable with that. Anyway.
All right, a lot of footy news getting around. I guess the big story that has been bubbling all week, Damo, revolves around the Collingwood Football Club. It has been front and centre everywhere in Melbourne, if not Australia. Developments today?
It remains the big story, doesn't it, Howie? Yeah, the loss on Anzac Day to Essendon left Collingwood 1-4. It leaves Nathan Buckley in his last year of his contract in that dicey predicament. Geelong looms on Sunday, and then beyond that, they've got Carlton in round 7. It's an ugly game, potentially, should they lose the game against Geelong. We know that he made comments, don't we, Darce, last last year, Nathan Buckley, late in the piece about needing to make finals in order to be coaching into 2018. And while people, and we included, have critiqued those comments and felt they were a metaphoric noose around his own neck, he today, Nathan Buckley, at his press conference, said that he doesn't regret making those statements.
I'm extremely fortunate to be leading the footy club. The reality is that I've got a job to do, and I'll get assessed on the ability to do that job, which comes down to wins and losses, which is where it was coming from last year.
Yeah, it is wins and losses, and as we've said a few times, Howie, into this sixth year, each win and loss ratio has got worse under the Buckley time at Collingwood, and going into round five, Geelong on Sunday, they are 1-4.
He's one of the most practical, pragmatic people I think I've ever met in my life, Nathan Buckley, and I don't think he'd have any issue at all with the scoreboard. At the end of the year, he would be unbelievably flat that they didn't win some of the close games that have unfolded this year, and I don't think there'd be too many issues with Nathan Buckley if they don't achieve what he set out to achieve, that will be the end for him. I think I know that Ed, the president, has stepped away and said, no, we're going to judge it on a whole range of things, but as we know, that is not the way it works, and I don't think it would be as emotive a situation, Juddy, as people think. I think he's so practical, Bucks. He understands the game as well as anyone, and the scoreboard will be the scoreboard.
But if it is pragmatic, I don't understand the recruiting in the off-season. I just can't figure that one out. I mean, to get in three senior players, two of them aren't playing. One, Daniel Wells, came in. He was good. He was serviceable. He had a bit of a class, but why go down that path? It's like hanging a noose around their neck for people to go, well, it didn't work, and this is exactly what you did, and this is why it didn't work.
It did seem like a big change of tack, I'll be honest with you. I mean, in terms of Bucks maybe keeping his job and their wins, you would think getting senior players in, albeit Lyndon Dunn hasn't played. We know that Daniel Wells has had injury issues, and Chris Mayne struggling is the third one. But it, in terms of that, would probably people would say that would help his cause, getting senior players in. But it was a change of tack. They've had a lot of different footy managers that have come in, and I know Graham Allen's short-lived for obvious reasons. So I'm not sure whether rotating people in that role has meant a change of policy.
When you say, though, Darcy, he's pragmatic, he's also, and we all know him to certain degrees in this room, he's as driven as anyone's ever been in some context. So how do you then line that, I suppose, way about you up with the pragmatism you refer to? Because he's a fighter.
Well, that's why he'll be backing himself in, that they'll turn it around and they'll get there. Right until there's one last drop of chance, then he will put all his energy into that. Would be, I'm not speaking for him.
Does a last drop of chance come if it does go 1-5 on Sunday against Geelong, and then the Carlton match looms?
It comes
and it
when
turns
you're mathematically out of it, doesn't it?
Right.
And that would be much later in the season. So I think, probably jumping at shadows on that front. Yep. I think it would be, I'll coach aside until I'm no longer capable of doing the job.
You news hounds look ahead and you try and pick out what is going to be the death knell. And you look ahead to Fremantle in Rocket in round three against
four,
Carlton.
Yeah, with the Carlton.
It didn't work out. But so then you all turn your attention to the next one, which is obviously the Carlton game.
Look, that's true though, Brownie, and you're right, that's what we do. But when you do see Carlton staring them down in round seven, which is 1 week away from this game against Geelong on Sunday, if you're Eddie Maguire, you don't want Collingwood losing that game. If you win it, it buys some time at the very least, and then hopefully in Nathan Buckley's case, some more than that. But it's not going to do anything for him or that club if it goes against them.
Do you hope they lose both games?
That'd be silly, Brownie. It's a stupid question.
Johnny, I'd be very surprised if Nathan Buckley didn't coach out the season. I don't think they're playing horrendous. I think they'll win enough games to get through to the season. But clearly, if the wins and losses aren't a lot better than what they are now, it's unlikely he's going to be there next year.
What's it like as a player when the coach is under pressure?
You do feel it. You really feel it. And the reality is, when you're a player, you're responsible for it. So it's an awkward situation. I think when you are the coach, it must be challenging not to blame the players for the situation you're in, but you just have to push that aside and try and get even closer with the players, and even try and narrow in on building those relationships with players that don't come naturally to you, because naturally you'll have the ones you get along with and they'll be in your corner, but really trying to build those ones that perhaps not as close to is really important when the chips are down.
Das, you're a man that works every day here on Triple M on the Hot Breakfast with the president of the Collingwood Footy Club, Eddie Maguire. This is a man that's intrinsically and forever linked with that decision with Nathan Buckley. How do you think he's holding up with the whole situation?
Oh, we spoke about it at length, and no doubt that there will be emotions attached to his relationship with Nathan Buckley that are different to his relationship with anyone else. He's a six-time Copeland Trophy winner. He single-handedly held that club afloat when they were genuinely struggling, And so I think, you know, having appointed him, it'll be a big wrestle to remove him from that role. But that will be a decision that they'll come to at a point in time. And that will be handled with great class. If it comes to that, if Nathan Buckley can't fight his way out of it and Collingwood can't get on the run, they can't. I mean, there will be enormous amount of respect given to that, as there should be, given who he is and given the status of what he is at the football club and given their reputation. And that won't change, I wouldn't have thought.
Massive, massive, massive twist on this story in the last 24 hours when a petition came out saying that Brendan Favola, a man that travels Australia kicking goals for whoever he plays for, should possibly come back and play for Collingwood. Now, Fev responded to this and said, well, he'd have a think about it, whether he could make a difference at Collingwood, whether he could come back next season, possibly snag 70 in the forward line. Eddie, on your show, responded to this story and delivered what I would only call is a pretty decent whack to the big Fev.
Fev making a comeback at Collingwood.
That's what he's done. I got my coat pulled here yesterday.
Probably saying, room on the forward line.
No, there's not. Not for him. Couldn't wedge him between the sticks. Big Fev at the moment. Jeez.
What are you saying?
He's fat.
Train him up. Get him back and get him out there, Big Ed.
Oh, I don't know what you're all laughing about over there, Juddy, but on the line is a man we all know and love. I've got a lot of love for this man. His name is Brendan Favola. I believe he's in Noosa at the moment. I don't know whether it's a big training camp. I'm not sure, but Fev joins us on the line. G'day, Brendan.
G'day, boys. What's so funny, Juddy?
I just think it's a little bit harsh. I would have thought Rubenesque would have been fair enough. But calling you fat, that's a bit much, Fev. How'd you take that?
Yeah, fat shaming. Yeah, we replayed it on my breakfast show on the Fox in the morning. And, it wasn't very nice to say someone's fat. But I'm large, so I can say that myself. But, yeah, but obviously this thing came out a couple of days ago about some guy put up on Facebook or something a petition for me to play. And then I said on our radio show, you know, a bit of tongue-in-cheek, and obviously everyone laughed at it, and I thought, you know me well, Juddy, and so do you, Howie. And when someone says, I can't do something, I do the opposite. So I'm like, well, why not?
So the comeback's on.
Why not?
So, mate, you say that, and you're a funny operator, and I know you're tongue-in-cheek and you're in Noosa, so you might have had a couple of cervezas when we actually conducted this interview.
A couple of brewskis.
But are you serious about it or not? A, do you think you could cut it still? And B, are you seriously considering coming back and attempting to play AFL football?
Well, A, obviously I think I can still play, and B, I'm no chance of playing because I'm too old. But, well, the thing with me is that I actually lost my career not for any other reason. It wasn't form. It wasn't because I was in the twos. It was purely because I was a dickhead, and I couldn't handle myself off the field. And Juddy knows that because he was part of that Carlton when I left there. So I just thought to myself, you know, there's no reason. Other reason that I didn't get sacked for, that wasn't because I couldn't perform. So I've still got it, just a bit large. I need to get skinny.
Hey, Fev, are you generally upset that people have called you fat? Are you're sounding a little bit sensitive about that. Are you being serious?
Well, I've actually... Well, when you get fat shamed, it doesn't sit well, obviously. You know, when you get large, if someone's, oh, well, come on, what are you laughing? Is that Juddy laughing?
No, I'm in your corner, mate.
No, I've got large, but, you know, if you got fit, and it's obviously, it was tongue-in-cheek, but now I'm thinking, well, obviously it might not eventuate that you get put on a rookie list or drafted at 37, but why not challenge myself to get fit and see what happens?
So, Fev, look, we all know you to a certain point. We know the joker in you. We know you can be serious at times. And we've seen you turn your life around in the past 24 months. And it's been a great story. Would you commit to getting your body right if some club out there was to give you one of those aged rookie spots?
100%. And obviously with Collingwood and the Eddie thing, having a look at Eddie in the studio every day, because we're in the same studio, he might be able to train with me. So we might be able to lose it together.
Well, there you go.
Hey, that is a good offer for Ev, and I think we'll put that to him on Monday. Maybe you go head to head and get on the campaign together. I like it, Fev.
Yeah, but the thing is, Darce, everyone always says things about age. So, like, I'm 36, so if you got fit, and, you know, you're all probably sitting there giggling at each other going, this bloke's kidding himself. But at the end of the day, I've been really good with injuries. I think I can still go. If my body got primed and I got fit, you know, what's a club got to lose? You go on a rookie list. It costs them nothing, Fev, doesn't it? Cost them nothing. You send a rookie's play two. Someone gets injured, you go up. If you fail, you're gone.
Fev, we would all love to see it. Mate, we're having a joke tonight, but if you could turn that around,
I'd like to see it.
And get yourself back out there, mate. More strength to you. Get on the campaign and have a crack at it.
I'll get some jagged leggings and start training.
Just before we let you go, what do you see the main problems up forward for Collingwood are at the moment? You're a man that exactly knows how to operate up there.
I think the problem is the Collingwood, obviously, they use it really wide. And with forwards, yeah, forwards read the play really well. Everyone takes the piss out of forwards and say they're all one-dimensional, they've all got the same sort of mindset. But forwards read the ball and read the play really well. And I think with the Collingwood midfield and the defenders, they go really wide. And they're getting 60-plus inside 50s every week. If you're getting 60-plus inside 50s every week, the full forward's kicking 2 or 3, 4 easy. Well, I would anyway. But
just funnel it through for volley, I reckon.
Well, if you're getting 60 inside 50, you should be kicking a winning score. And obviously they're kicking a lot of points. Obviously some goal kicking's going wrong down there. But I think Buckley's doing a good job. They're obviously getting the footy and they've been in games, but they're just their conversion rate hasn't been right. So just got to change a few things. And I'm not I coach Melton South, but I'm not an AFL coach. So, but it's just a tinker with a few little things and maybe use the middle. And Sam Newman always says it on the footy show. What's the quickest way to home? You go through the middle.
All right, brother. Appreciate it, Fev. You get home safely from Noosa, and it'd be nice to see you on AFL jumper next year.
I'm just about to sit down and have a nice cold martini with one of Juddy's bogey mates, Anthony Collier, who sat on the table with.
Oh, very good. Send him my fondest regards,
Fev. And then in the morning, National Park run for you, Fev.
That's it, twice, maybe three times. Brendan Favola. Was he tongue-in-cheek demo or not? Yes or no?
There was a bit of seriousness there.
How much?
At least 50%.
Oh, there you go. That would be one of the biggest stories ever if the big fella, I can't see it, but if he made a comeback. Damien, plenty of news going around. A couple of big names in the AFL are not playing this week, and it's going to cause a bit of friction, I would have thought, at a couple of footy clubs.
Yeah, it has. There's obviously personal pride attached to the names we're about to rattle off, Howie. Daisy Thomas, obviously, Andrew Swallow, Thomas from North, and also Stanton, who's been dropped tonight. And we'll get to all of those in a minute. But the Dale Thomas one, Brownie, is interesting, given that the footy club, the Blues, last week, were at pains to say that he was rested from the then game in round 5, the Port Adelaide game on the Friday night. Round 6 rolls around, and he is out of the round 16 playing VFL this week. And before I get you to take us through what your thoughts are on this, Brendan Bolton, the Blues coach today, gave it a context.
One thing about Daisy, it's a little bit similar to us as a team. We've played some really good football in patches, but been a little inconsistent. And Daisy would be the first to admit, like us, he's been a bit inconsistent. So he'll go back and work extremely hard.
Which sounds like it's the beginning of the exit for Daisy Thomas. I think Carlton have realised that they don't have many senior players, and the ones that are there are probably not going to take him to the next final series, and he's probably the one that is on big money, and there's a carrot involved in probably not having him play. And as much as Carlton would like to say that you know, he's going to be picked on merit, I'd imagine in the back of their minds that clause that kicks in for him playing next year will be in the back of their minds, and they won't want him to get to that mark.
And what you refer to there is X amount of games being reached by Daisy Thomas in this year of his contract that Carlton will, as you say, trigger a 2018 component to it. And while I'm not going to sit here and tell you exactly what that number is, it's around about 15. It may well be 16, but it's around about 15. That's the best accurate I can and get to it. So if you're missing at least two games as you go into round 6, it's already sort of on that edge.
And you can understand from Carlton's point of view that they're looking to the future now. They're looking to youth.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
During the days of those triggers are almost gone, Juddy, they always send end in tears, don't they, at times where you've got something that's in the control. There used to be a lot of best and fairest bonuses and contracts back in the day, and you leave something that's open to manipulation from the club. If it turns out like this, these questions are always going to be asked, aren't they? If he plays 13 games and his trigger was 14,
yeah,
he's going to be left with that feeling.
Yeah, I mean, from a personal view is that I don't like any incentives that can be decided by the club. It just appears like a conflict of interest. And you always hear of the ones with the best and fairest voting when a guy had an incentive for finishing top three and he finishes fourth. Yep. And even if the club's done nothing wrong, there's often players walking around feeling that they've been duped. So if you're going to have incentives, I think you're better off having all Australian, or you want to have a Brownlow incentive, or things that are outside the club's control.
And Dust, the other point you make there, and it enhances what you just said, that this was a decision made by a previous regime at that footy club, the Mick Malthouse time and also the Greg Swan time. And obviously those men are now not there. So the new people in those positions, that they don't want to be burdened and beholden to the deals that were in play.
Yeah, that makes a bit of sense. I can understand that. I don't know Dale Thomas at all, to be honest with you, but I suspect that he'd be fairly open to understanding the situation. And we spoke about this the week before, that if they generally felt that his future wasn't there, I suspect people you can go and have a conversation with them, they're actually okay with it, you know, and he can plan for his future. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm being a bit naive there. Do you think he would try and force that contract?
It's big money, Darce. It's $750,000.
Well, maybe he wants some of that. Maybe there'd be a settlement. Maybe that's fair too. Maybe if he did that. But a mature conversation probably seems like the way to go.
I think most players are pretty level-headed when it comes to that sort of thing. I agree with you. If they went to him and said, look, let's work out a settlement. We don't really want to play next year and we want to be amicable. Here's an offer. You know, we can work together. We can try and find your placement outside of football.
Juddy, there was something you said to me last week, not on air, about money and how it affects you when you come to a club for big money, that you earn it one way or the other.
Well, you do. I mean, one way or the other, you earn it. When you get paid big bucks, you either play like it and you deserve what you get, or if you run into injuries or your form doesn't stand up, you cop that much crap in the media that you earn it that way. I mean, that was the Izzy Folau case when he took the big bucks. Daisy's had a horrendous run with injuries since he came to the footy club, and he's worn a heap of criticism, some of it unfair. I mean, I actually think there's probably not much more to this particular story than meets the eye. I think he was rested. I think they've chosen to go with a younger team this week. And I suspect, like you touched on, if they want him to go next year, he'd be amenable to renegotiating that deal. I think it's more just a case of, getting some more games in some younger players.
Just with it, they've left four players out from that horrific loss to Port Adelaide last week, and they've replaced them with older players. I don't know this, Juddy, but I would have thought if I'm Daisy Thomas, being told I'm rested last week for physical reasons, I would have expected to come back in that team, given the calibre that has come back in.
Yeah, look, I'm not close enough to it to say one way or the other, but I've got no reason to assume that what Brendan Bolton's saying isn't true.
15 of the last 17 games have been lost by North Melbourne, Howie, and they're now making changes within game selection situations similar to the brutal ways they went about exiting certain players last year. And we refer here to Andrew Swallow, the former captain of the club, and also Lindsay Thomas. And while the narrative, Darce, around Swallow had been pretty strong that he just wasn't doing what Brad Scott wanted him to do, it did still come as a pretty big shock to Swallow to find out that he wasn't going to be playing on this particular weekend.
Would you say that he'd be angry? I mean, he's a captain in recent years. He's had his endeavour's never been questioned. I watched him play last week and he went, it has come to him, speed-wise, kicking-wise, ability to get any distance or accuracy in his kick is an issue for him. But is he an upset?
As far as I know him to be, yes. But to me, that just gets back to how much pride he does have in his own performance. And he's got battled through injuries and a very serious Achilles one relatively recently.
Is he out of contract this year?
Yeah, as far as I know, he is. And I think you'll see him going from being captain as recently as last year, basically, into a situation where end of 2017. I don't see how you can retain him, given they made the magnitude of the decisions they made last year on those equally big as names.
He's a victim of their situation, isn't he? I mean, last year when they were flying 10 and zip, Andrew Swallow looked sharp, he looked fit, he looked flying. He was winning contested footy, he was using the footy okay. Now they're not going well, they haven't won a game, they're struggling a little bit. It's amazing how much slower you look when your team's not winning, and the end comes really quickly. Every player you speak to says, it's like you fall off a cliff one day, and it looks like it's happened to Andrew Swallow. But you seem to think, if they were winning and they were still the side they were last year, he'd be doing what he was last year. It's just the situation they're in.
There's no doubt that if you want to play well as an older player, you need to be in a good team. Because A, you don't get asked to do too much, and B, selection is based around what's happening today instead of what's happening in the future.
Damo, you've got a couple more news stories which we'll need to hold off to later because we've got a couple
just
of big guests
Stanton
going up.
Out for the Bombers.
Straight away, time to get to our next guest. Collingwood Premiership captain, held the cup aloft there for Collingwood. He's now at GWS as, the leadership coach, for want of a better term. Nick Maxwell is on the line. G'day, Maxie.
Hey, Howie, how are you, mate?
Well, wonderful to speak to you. A leadership program, you're in charge of it. It's an interesting title. What's the role all about?
Leon spoke to me towards the end of, 2015, just about what they were looking to do. And Simon Kadic was the leadership coach before that, and he was moving back to cricket. So there was a bit of a hole there, and he just sort of asked me what I'd been doing with the Melbourne Storm, which has been my third year now, and basically went through it all. And then from there, he was pretty keen to get me up here. So I'm at every game, and he managed to rope me into doing the running this year, which has been interesting. But, obviously just up during the week and helping the boys out with their personal development around leadership.
Hey, Max, you've been around footy a long time, and Howie said, a premiership captain at Collingwood will be on your business card for life. You've got access to talent that's assembled of the likes of which none of us think we've ever seen before. What's it like being out on the track and seeing that run around? Is it as good day-to-day as we see on the weekends?
Yeah, it is, Das. Obviously, we know we've got a lot of good players, but it does offer a different challenge in that when you look at players that are first-round draft picks, usually they've been the best player since the age of 12 or 14. So when you're coaching those teams, you tend to let the best player do his thing and go about his business. And they can create some bad habits as well, but they can also get some expectations that I need to be playing and I should be playing. If I'm a top 10 draft pick, I should be playing every week. And obviously they can't all fit in and they can't play every week. I think obviously the way that the club have set it up, they trade out every year and they get a couple of first-round draft picks so that they can keep continuing to do that over the next few years. And you get three or four guys coming every year who just expect to be playing senior footy, and they look across and see guys who are drafted later than them playing senior footy. So you've got to really drive that resilience into them and understand that you have to work for it and it doesn't just come easy at this level.
And following on from that, Maxie, is it sometimes hard to find players when you do have a list with so much talent who are prepared to block and sometimes do some of those one percenter type acts?
It is, Juddy. I think probably the big thing is the footy world sees how we move the ball and they see the skill level, but we almost feel like our defence isn't really appreciated yet, and that's something that's a real challenge for this group. We want everyone to see that we've probably, over the pre-season, probably 70% of the training was to do with defence. So Nick Walsh has been doing a good job with the whole team, with the team defence, but then Lenny Hayes has been doing a lot of that in-close tight stuff as well, and obviously Mark McVay down back. So we've had a real emphasis on it, and we want the players to continue to improve, but we want to get that respect in terms of our defence, not just about kicking 20 goals every week.
And Maxie, you are the runner when you get out there. Is there anyone that gives lip back? Because I know that you and Heath Shaw used to have some good dust-ups in the Collingwood defensive end there. Is there anything going on out there?
Occasionally, I just got to grab him and calm him down, Brenny, like the good old days. But Stevie's not real happy with just getting any negative comments. He wants to always come back at me with something. But those experienced guys, they're good because they also know that I've got a role to play. So they understand that. Whereas the younger blokes, they can be a little bit more sensitive.
Nick, you've been involved in a lot of very big games, and we on the outside have a certain fascination about certain matchups. And this one tonight is now in that category, given what happened the previous time they met. How excited are you, if you can just put your supporters hat on, about what will lie ahead tonight?
Oh, I'm more excited for the players, to be honest. I just think that they were so shattered with not only the way that they finished last season, but the actual performance. A lot of guys didn't perform on the big stage of prelim final, and more than that, as a team, when we reviewed that, it was one of our probably worst performances of the year. So I know a lot of people appreciated the game, that it was a close game and it went down to a kick, but we were really disappointed with the way we performed, and the boys actually had to go through the whole pre-season knowing how they had performed the last game of the season, and they'd sort of build themselves up for that, and they expected to be playing the next week the way they'd gone about it. They really expected to win that game of football, and unfortunately they didn't put their best foot forward. So I'm more excited for our players, and they've got another opportunity to go up against the reigning premiers.
And those players you refer to, it's been critiqued, the game, as recently as today's newspapers about what happened in that. Have you personally sort of gone to them today to say you've got to stand up tonight?
Nah, there's been a few challenges thrown down by Leon. We think that, obviously with Phil Davis out, we need some guys to step up down back, because he's so crucial to our leadership, and the way that he plays has been huge in this first 5 weeks for us. There's guys who individually know that how they performed last year, they're disappointed with that and have been looking forward to this game. But then obviously, I think if you look at the way the Bulldogs have picked their lineup, it probably says a little bit about how they think they can beat us. They've gone pretty small. We know Campbell's gone out now. He trained yesterday, so that was an interesting move. It's obviously a tactic where they think maybe Boyd might be able to get hold of Big Mummy, like the prelim last year when Roughhead went down.
Yep. And I know there's more pressing things for you personally right now than the question I'm about to ask, but when you hold up the Premiership Cup only, 6.5 years ago at your former club, Collingwood, and you see where they're at now, Nick, do you still have some soft spots for them?
Oh, absolutely. I've still got a lot of friends there, and you want them to do well. And it's hard seeing guys struggle and seeing coaches struggle and all that. I think there's a lot of guys who I've had a lot of time, spent a lot of time with. So obviously it's been hard for them and hard for supporters, but all you can do is try and offer support wherever you can. But at the same time, as you said, I'm at another club at the moment, and I've got to make sure I'm doing what I can to try and help the Giants win.
Maxie, we really appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the GWS tonight.
I might. Can I sneak up the box and grab Darcy's gloves? I think Darcy, one of those. just
a bit of a drive-by. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate a drive-by.
Just a nice little clip from you on the way, Max. You just make sure you get the running sorted out.
Great to speak to Nick Maxwell from the GWS. Oh, yes. I enjoyed that, Darcy.
It was really good.
Yeah, I like it.
And
too,
it's left you a bit speechless.
He called me Darcy too, didn't he? Which is noted. He did give us a story that Tom Campbell is out, late withdrawal, so they are going to go small. The Bulldogs tonight, which is a bit of what they did in the prelim final. I'm interested in going back to the runners, Jody, and the way it was when I first played and compared to what I imagine is now, because it's become a very sensitive game now, isn't it? We don't see the same sort of sprays. But how I remember my third ever game, the runner came out to me. I was playing on Chris Langford at the time. Chris Burton was our runner, who played for Richmond. He came out and he said in front of Chris Langford, he said, the coach, who was Terry Wallace, he thinks you're playing the worst game of AFL football anyone's played in the history of the game. And Chris Langford's pissing himself laughing. And he said, but you know what's even funnier? He's going to leave you out here because he doesn't think you can play any worse. So that was the message I got 15 minutes in my third game. Thanks for that one.
It's a great treat to have on the line from Footscray. Unfortunately injured at the moment, Jordan Ruffhead is on the line. G'day, Jordan.
G'day, boys. How are you going?
Great to speak to you. It was an unusual injury for you that's dragged on a lot longer than you would have liked. Where are you at in your recovery, and when are we going to see you playing where you deserve to be?
Yeah, I'm not too far away. It's a pretty frustrating one for me. I haven't missed this much footy in my career, so I'm looking forward to getting back out there. But, yeah, it's always good to at least get a strange injury if you're going to get one, so you've got something to talk about, I suppose.
Now, Ruff, looking forward to seeing you back out there sooner rather than later. But a really good news story is happening at the moment, and that is Mitch Wallace returns from that shocking Nathan Brown-style broken leg and is playing in the VFL tonight. Is that correct?
Yeah, Darcy is. He's about to roll out now. The boys are starting at 7 o'clock, so I'm sure he's a little bit anxious to get out there and get his hands on the footy. But as you said, it's a great story and a pretty quick return, I guess, from what was a pretty horrific injury.
It's obviously difficult for yourself, Jordan, sitting on the sidelines watching. But the 4-1 scoreline, without actually hitting the straps totally, you must be pleased with what you're seeing so far.
Yeah, I certainly am. We've been playing a little bit of frustrating footy, really, in that we haven't been able to string four quarters together, as you said. But sitting 4-1, we can't complain. We know we've got a lot of improvement ahead of us, certainly tonight against a quality outfit in GWS, we're going to have to lift our output and perform for the majority of the game, if not all the game, to get the 4 points.
And Jordan, your team's contested ball numbers and clearance work has been down when compared to last year. Is that a tactical thing, or it's just an area that's dropped off a little bit?
I'm not too sure. If I could answer that properly, I'd probably be the coach. But it's certainly not something that we're too worried about. I mean, we're winning the ball when we need to, and we've been able to win those four games in the end without too much ado. So it's something that the boys are certainly going to work on and doing some work. I haven't been out there doing it with them, unfortunately, but it's been noted, and hopefully we see a bit of a turnaround there tonight.
Late out tonight, Tom Campbell, Ruff, not playing, which leaves Tom Boyd head-to-head with Big Mummy, one out. How big a role is that for someone who probably hasn't ever been a legitimate ruckman? Is he capable of doing that on his own tonight?
Yeah, it is going to be a big job, but if you remember back to the prelim up in Sydney last year, I hurt my eye pretty early on in the second quarter, and Big Tommy Boyd was able to do the job for the rest of the game pretty admirably against Big Mummy. So I'm sure he'll go into the game tonight confident that he can do it again. And our guys as mids will be working really hard to support him and help him through it.
And Ruff, how have you dealt with the come down of Rob Murphy's 300 from last week? It was such a long, drawn-out process. It was like the Pope just waiting for that white smoke to come out. It was just, I think we're all a bit bobbed out, to be honest.
Yeah, well, amazingly, Brownie, he's managed to keep it going. I thought it was just the week of Bob, but he's trying to turn it into the month of Bob. So it's pretty extraordinary stuff, mate. But hopefully your mum's books is as good as Bob's was a couple of years ago.
Hey, Ruff, before we let you go, as you mentioned that eye injury and you had that big build-up to grand final week, what was it like, the closing 5 or 10 minutes of that preliminary final for you looking on?
To be honest, it's only something I can really remember watching through the replays. I've probably watched the final 2 minutes video that they've done 10 times or so. It keeps popping up on the social medias, and I'm pretty happy to have a look at that every now and then. So it, I remember it being really nerve-wracking, but you've obviously got, when you're sitting on the bench, you've got guys that know how long there is left in the game. So I was sitting next to Gary Zimmerman and Jake Landsberger, and they were just about in tears as the minutes ticked by.
Geordie, we really appreciate your time. If one of your family members came to you and said they were going to write a book about you, what would you say?
If it was my mum, I'd certainly be worried.
Good on you, Jordan. Appreciate your time. Look forward to seeing you play soon.
Good on you, Kira. Thanks for having me on.
No worries. Well, there's been a big build-up to this segment. We tried to get it away a couple of times. We've been squeezed for time. But finally, for the first time on Triple M Football, it is time for...
From the man who brought you...
World, according to the cool breeze...
...comes another classic book about a footballer.
Hey, we're making it up.
This is My Son the Footballer.
Damo, before you get into this, can I just, going back to...
what about the sting
dart? The cool breeze, which was the Bristol Diaries that he famously wrote ahead of Collingwood's 1990 Premiership.
When he cracked the, you know, what's when he got dropped and then wrote and exposed book. Every secret they had, yeah. in the week after the grand final, yeah, that book, yeah.
Wasn't overly well received. How many weeks did we get out of that on Triple M Footy?
We got, I reckon we probably ran it 2 weeks too long, but we got 23 weeks out of it.
I think we've got potentially a good 15 or 16 in this year,
Damo. We do. Now, it is called... Brownie, My Son the Footballer, it's written by the beautiful Michelle Brown. It was written in 2010. And what we're going to do, Darcy, is just set the scene for what is to lie ahead under Michelle Brown's authorage here. This first bit I'm about to write.
Give us a spell, Damo.
This first bit that I'm about to reveal is the preamble, if we can use that. And that is obviously written by our man who is sitting with us at the moment, Nathan.
Hang on, no, hang on.
You can't write your own preamble.
He has. He hasn't written his own forward, has he?
He has.
Oh, no. This is a book you claim. I know nothing about
it. I don't know anything about it. But if you get asked to write the preamble, who better to write it than yourself?
If you didn't know anything about it, Nath, how did you find yourself writing the forward?
It's about me.
Get your own book.
This is starting to unravel for
me. It is. And it starts like this, that it goes without saying that I've learnt a lot since I brought my Kurt Cobain haircut down the Calder Highway from Bendigo in 1996. The learning curves at my new club, the Western Bulldogs, had parallels with my teenage development in matters female. Both the case of, I wish I'd known then what I know now. Girls and football, two of the great topics of life.
He's going to go into a birds and the bees style.
Debated at every chance when two or more males get together. Now, then Brownie goes on to providing to Darcy and Jody and Harry an 8-point plan for the AFL debutante. And some of this is just absolutely staggering.
Like a masterclass.
How to live your life, according to Nathan Brown. And Darcy, and this will amuse a lot of people, and I won't go into why, but point number one, made very clearly, stay off the punt. He regales us with a story how he placed $1,000 on Arsenal against Leicester in an EPL game, thinking that easy money, double my money, get even money odds. There's a new TV coming my way. 90 minutes later, nil all. He goes into point two, learn the club history. Point three, grow a thick skin. Point four, set two alarm clocks. All very good advice. Be careful with Facebook, Jody. Is point five.
Ahead of your time on that
now,
one, mate.
Anyone can take a photo of you out having some beers, kissing a girl in a corner, which, if you have a girlfriend at the time, that's going to pose a problem. And
learnt the hard way, mate. That one...
long time ago.
A little bit of sage advice for another man in the profile at the point in time. And camera phones, as Wally Lewis's son Lincoln from Home and Away found out, is not the place to make home movies. Point six, befriend the property steward. Point seven, hang out with the best people you can. And number eight, buy bricks and mortar. And he finishes it off with this. There you have it, an 8-point plan about making life easier for an AFL debutante.
The 8 commandments.
I was going to include a section on understanding women, but I don't think men ever fully understand females. The only woman I've ever understood is my mum. She's a hip lady. Okay, one tip on this subject. If the first thing a girl says to you, I don't know anything about football, are you a footballer? And you're standing in a corner at CQ nightclub, she probably knows how many loose board gets you've had that day at Etihad Stadium.
This is the forward.
We're away. Oh,
now, Nate, I got to say,
that's the preamble.
I've never read this book, but I've heard a lot of that before. Did you rip that off
and put that in a newspaper article, that?
I think I did, yeah.
So you had a second crack at it. Next week on My Son the Footballer. Just give us an idea what we might delve into next week.
No, we'll delve through it, Howie, but there's 343 pages to wade through.
This is the gift that's going to keep on giving, Brownie. I cannot believe how good this is.
Just ease off on the music for a moment here, Das, because you and I have been working away on a story. Both our kids. And look at Damo, his little antenna's gone up. He's thinking, what are these two got? Both your and my kids spend a lot of time, and my little fella's playing Auskick at the moment.
We tend to roll the sleeves up down there.
We do, and you need to get involved. And whenever you get asked to help, you certainly help. I was on the sausages a couple of weeks ago. Mrs. Howe is on the goal-kicking station at the moment as we speak.
I took my whistle off to come here tonight to
That's
do
right.
the Friday huddle.
So when you
do.
Get asked...
And you've coached for many years, haven't you, Dave?
Absolutely, yeah. Last 3 years at the Glen Iris Gladiators, the mighty Gladiators.
Well, it's been brought to our attention.
You take your hands out of your pockets.
Well, you do. And it's been, you give back to the game. It's been brought to our attention that there's a certain club in East, Inner East, and maybe East Sandringham by the name, that they approached, well, let's be honest, someone in this very box to get involved.
Well, an icon of
and
the game.
And he's won two Brownlows.
And a bloke, that narrows it down. He's wearing the red bib. He's just a bloke that battles away Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, and he gets the courage to go up and...
Can you imagine how excited you'd be if you got the red bib?
I know this bloke
there, you're down there at Auskick Brownie, and you think, here is one of the game's all-time greats. Yeah. He's just standing there doing absolutely stuffle on the sideline.
A bit of Instagram work, apparently.
These are the parents that you look over and go, stop babysitting, champ. Come down and have a look.
Yeah. Get your hands dirty.
His name's Jeremy, this guy. And he's a ripping fella. I know him. And he would have been excited all week. And Chris Judd's going to be down there. His little boy's down there. He would have told his mates. He would have told his wife, I'm going to go up to Juddy. I'm going to get him to do the coach. He would have told all the kids. Yeah. He's gone up to Juddy and said, oh, mate, I'd love you to help out with the coaching.
And at that point, Juddy?
Have a listen.
I kept it short and sharp. The response was no.
Just put this in, no.
Let's just put this in context. You get one chance at a coaching gig, and I've scanned the talent pool down there, and they're not up to it. They're spoiled Bayside kids, Howie, and I'm not going to soften my brand by taking them on.
You get one crack at it. I've had a look at them, and they're spoiled Bayside kids.
Hey, do you know what he said? He said, I'm not going to waste it until they get to the point where they're ready for a bit of Judd Gold, and that is serious. And I'll tell you what, you might be onto something there. You don't want to go too early before you roll out C. Judd. But there's a little insight in the way our man rolls.
He's a freak.
How about the no? Not even.
You only get one chance.
And then he went back and said, you don't want to think about it?
No. Shut up. The footy's on Triple M. Triple M rocks footy.